from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, trees and multiforms, it's time for return to who or whom are we returning to, or who or whom is talking? Well, I could tell you that I don't know the difference between my who or my whom, but I can tell you that one of my favorite doctors, David T, is coming up tonight. I'm going to be talking about an episode of, well, anyway, I'll be meandering. It'll take me forever to get there. It'll feel like I never got started, because I'm really here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company as you drift off to sleep. Who I am, and that's who I am. Oh, who am I is a good question. And if you're thinking about that stuff, that's one of the things I'm here to take your mind off of, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, please either pay attention right now, or when your hand hits that fridge tomorrow, or your coffee pot, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors so you can see how we bring this show for free twice a week. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is just a reminder that this episode was recorded a little while ago, but I wanted you to know that Sleep With Me is here to support you, and you can find links in our show notes, and Sleep With Me is here to support our Black community because Black Lives Matter. You can find links about that also in our show notes, and you can find links of steps and actions you can take, or if you're saying, what, like, you don't understand, you could find out more, and you could really take a look at things internally and externally, and slowly, like, start to become a part of the solution. And all of those links will be in the show notes. So I really wanted you to know that right up front. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Media Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast is loud, it's brash, and I need you to hear it because that's how we're able to bring you the podcast twice a week, or the listeners who, I can't believe it, support the sponsors. Thank you so much to Kenny and Melissa, who supported Daily Harvest. I mean, now, I love the papaya and mango smoothie, holy mackerel, and the overnight oats, the bananas, holy mackerel, but with like a cacao, cinnamon. But I appreciate Ken and Melissa checking out Daily Harvest. Kenny even had some fun with the dry ice, put on a little dry ice show that comes in the packaging. But if you check out a sponsor like Daily Harvest, tag them, tag me in a social media post so they know their partnership is valuable. And I could try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. So that's part of one of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Part two is you getting the support you need. If you're in extra need this time, you need to reach out. There's links for you to support your own self-care and maybe get connected with some extra help right now. Those links are in the show notes and most podcast apps. Black Lives Matter. So if you want to support the Black members of your community, be a part of change internally and externally, be working towards improving or being a part of the solution. Links to some places to get started with that will be in the show notes and some great organizations. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And you've heard of me. I got my masks from Ashley Slade Art. But I also got Ashley's Liberty and Justice for All t-shirt. My daughter, my mom, and I were all wearing them on the 4th. And all of Ashley's earnings for that are going to the Lawyers Committee, which enlists the private bar to combat discrimination and inequality. So I want to thank Ashley Slade for making amazing shirts and supporting amazing causes. Links to Ashley's Threadless store will be in the show notes. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Zone.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
Song for you,
any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want. Sleep With Me podcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's how you can get a hold of me, or through our contact page. And remember, sharing the podcast is a free way to support the show. Let somebody else know, just organically, when podcasts come up, show them how to subscribe to podcasts, or if Sleep comes up, tell them about Sleep with Me. Particularly if you use things that I don't use, like LinkedIn. People are telling me that's a great place to share about stuff like that, if it comes up. Thanks so much, and let's get on with the show and slow it down. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, you're thinking about, thoughts on your mind, or, you know, I guess it could be other thoughts. So whatever you're thinking about, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, whatever's going on, you know, a second, third shift, you could be on call. You know, stuff could be just, you know, stuff, holy stuff, S-T- UFF. I'd like to read it in reverse. When I think about some of the stuff that keeps me up at night, I'd spell stuff backwards. But I drop one of the F's, and then whatever comes after the U, like S, the T and the S too. Yeah. You don't need to talk. But just sometimes. But I'm here. I already got lost. What am I gonna do? What am I doing? Oh, I was saying the stuff that keeps us up at night. I'm not really. I'm just being facetious. I know you're. It's not your fault. You're keeping me up at night. It's just a thing. But I'm here to try to do it with kindness, a little bit of silliness. So what I'm going to do is, I got this safe place carved out, set aside. It's palatial. I don't know if I've used the word palatial on this podcast before. Makes me think of the palatial podcast I haven't started. The podcast about palatial places and things palatial and things interesting to palatialists. The palatial notes. The podcast about palatial things. Yeah, people, palatial. What about palatial people? Are those people that live in palaces or palatial-like places? Are all palaces palatial? No. Are all palatial places palaces? No. Don't put the P in the palace, though. I mean, unless you're in the right room, okay? But please. But what was I talking about? Oh, I'm going to create this safe place. I got to set aside. Maybe we'll go back to, I love saying palatial. It's like palladium, which I think is like a new, like, thing. Or velodrome. I don't know why. So velodrome just popped in my head, too. So I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off a topic and do those extra words, mumbles. You saw one of those tangents, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, all in an effort to keep you company while you drift off. If you're new, a couple of things you might want to know right up front. One, this is a podcast to keep you company as you drift off. I'm extra mixed up today, which is a good thing in this podcast. But so if you're new, here's a couple of things to know. One, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. So kind of just see how it goes. It doesn't necessarily have to work for you. Just kind of look at it loosely. Like if you were studying a cloud, or if someone was listed, here's the thing. Like if you have more than one palace or palatial, if you have a palatial estate, and you start talking about it, like, I'm probably going to start to tune you out. I mean, maybe, and that's just for my own, since I don't have a palatial estate, you say, well, yeah, then we have the picnic area. Then we have the picnic zone. Then we have the water play area. Then the water park. And I say, sorry, you have a water park at your palatial estate? Well, it wouldn't be palatial, would it? You know, Then we have the water gardens, which are really nice. So at some point, I would probably tune you out, or, you know, you'd see steam coming out my ears, and I would be green with envy. I'd probably be red with envy, not green with envy. But so this podcast is very similar to that. Like, for some people, there is steam coming out their ears. Sorry about that. It's just not for everybody. But for a lot of people, you could just start to tune me out. That's what the regular listeners do. You if you're new, you might be paying attention. You say, what is up with all these people that listen to this show? Because he doesn't talk about anything or get to any points. And the regular listeners would giggle along with that. And they'd say, yeah, but he doesn't. That's why we love old Scoots. So that's, so don't pay attention to the show, barely listen to it. But I will say that most listeners say it takes two or three tries to get used to the show. So give it two or three tries and just kind of see how it goes and then see, okay, well, this kind of barely worked for me. So that's one thing to know. The next thing to know, consume the podcast loosely. The other thing is there's a lot of podcasts to put people asleep out there. Or other sleep solutions and stuff like this. This is the only podcast that's kind of here while you fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. I'm your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar bestie, whatever you want to call it. And I'm just here to be at your bedside, while you fall asleep. That's it. Tell you, take your mind off of stuff. So that's two things to know. The other thing that can throw new listeners off is the structure of the show. The show is very different, and that can mix people up. So let me tell you about the structure of the show. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it. Starts off with a greeting. Then we do the business. That's how we're able to bring in the podcast for free twice a week. Then there's an intro. And the intro also can throw people off because it's me talking for about 12 to 20 minutes about what the podcast is. So I'm kind of, I try to get to the point and explain what the podcast is. And then I go off on tangents or get mixed up. And I wish I was totally 100% on purpose. I do say that sometimes, totally intentional. Every meander is a well-planned meander, but that is just not the truth. Like sometimes, you know, you just got to, you got to do a little bumbling, some natural bumbling. What was my point? Oh, so the intro is, that's one of the reasons why the intro is long. But the main reason the intro is like 12 to 20 minutes long, when you'd say most intro Scoots are like 2 or 3 minutes, you tell us what you're going to tell us, say something, then tell us what you're going to tell us again. I'd say, well, I tried to do that, but the whole idea of the intro, so there's a few ways to consume this show once you become a regular listener. At first, just kind of consume it, you know, first probably skeptically or doubtfully. And then after that, you say, well, I'm not so sure about this. And they say, oh, I'm not so sure about this, so I don't have to listen. But as you become a regular listener, there's 2% of listeners who start the show at around 20 minutes, and they just listen to whatever starts at 20 minutes. It might be the end of the intro, might be some business, might be this where we talk about tonight, we're talking about an episode of Doctor Who or a holiday special. So you could see after you become a regular listener, oh, that's what works best for me. But most listeners, they listen to the intro as part of their wind down. And some of them start it before they get into bed. Some of them start it as part of their bedtime routine, whether they're journaling or knitting or cross-stitching or doodling or petting pets or brushing their hair. You know, whatever, just stretching, you know, just sitting and staring. That's one of my hobbies, out the window or at a wall or at the ceiling. I do really like, and this is something I just got back into. You say, Scooch, what else do you do for fun? And I'd forgotten this one. I do like to look at look at things from upside down. I like to get into a position where I can look at and pretend that the ceiling's the floor. And if you haven't done that in a while, I highly suggest it. I mean, make sure you do it, you know, in a safe and comfortable way. But talk about it. I say, how did I forget how, you know, then you pretend you're walking, you imagine you're walking around your apartment and it's upside down. I love doing that. So those are all reasons the intro is around 12 to 20 minutes to kind of give you time to unwind and ease into bedtime. So then there'll be some business. Then I'll talk about an episode of Doctor Who from series three, the second series with David Tennant. This one will be the special before the season started. And if you've never seen Doctor Who or you have strong feelings about it, don't worry. This will be very meandering. Everything will be told in a bedtime story way. So I'll take plenty of long turns around anything that you say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Because when I was a kid, I wasn't so sure about the original Doctor Who series. I'd say, oh boy. But now I've grown to love it and the performances. So we'll have some fun. So we'll talk about that for about 40, 45 minutes. And there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. And the kind of two pieces of like code you could follow. Don't really need to listen to me or just barely listen. Don't take me seriously. And no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are about an hour is I want to give you plenty of time to drift off. So I'm here to keep you company as you drift off instead of putting you to sleep. But then if you can't sleep, I'm here. Or if you need a break during the day, I'm here. Or if you wake up, as I have been doing, you say, well, here's some scoots. I can just put on scoots and it'll take my mind off of stuff. So that's all the stuff around the structure of the show. The reason I make the show is because I've been there. I know how it feels in the deep, dark night. I know how it feels. Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I know how it feels, and it's not great. And so that's one part of it. But I also truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and you deserve a safe place to respite. So that's why I make the show, because your world and our world will be a better place if you're rested. So that's really it. I'm really glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by and checking the show out. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring you the show for free twice a week. Thanks for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. Scoots, we're talking about Doctor Who. We're doing the holiday special, The Runaway Bride, which I believe precedes, well, I know it precedes season series history, the second David Tennant season. And it opens with a wedding and a lot of shots from the wedding, the organ, the bride, the groom, the guests, even one sneering guest, the wedding music. Here comes the bride, or I don't know what song it is. There's candles, there's lanterns, there's greenery. Oh boy, ribbons. And then the bride turns to gold dust. It ends up it's gold space dust. And she in her space dust form goes into outer space and straight into the TARDIS. And we get some comedy because she shows up in the TARDIS and the doctor says, what? Like what? Right now I just rewound it to see. She's turning to stardust. Her mom and the groom are gasping. She flies off of Earth, probably light speed, I guess, if she's stardust, into the TARDIS. Doctor looks up, what? She says, who are you? What? Who are you? What? Where am I? What in the heck is this place? And the doctor says, what? Then we get a short open, I think. What open bride? Bride something. Yeah, we see David Tennant, Catherine Tate, and Doctor Who. So I don't think anything else for the intro. The TARDIS flies in, Runaway Bride by Russell T. Davies. and we're still going through the opening. I'm watching this on BBC America that I recorded it. She says, where am I? The doctor says, TARDIS. She says, what? TARDIS? What? TARDIS? You ready? And she says, that's not a proper word, which actually it is. It's capital T-A-R-D, a proper noun. Yes, it is. She also calls him Dumbo. She goes, I was halfway up the aisle, been waiting to get married, seconds away, and then how'd you get me here? Also, there's marble. This is the first time I saw marble on the TARDIS. Now, I may have missed that before. Doctor's trying to calculate and fix how even she got there. She goes to leave the TARDIS, sees a space. He says, yeah, that's outer space. You're in space, outer space, or something like that. This is my spaceship, I guess. And she goes, who are you? He says, I'm the doctor. Who are you? And she says, Donna. And he goes, are you human? She goes, yeah, of course I'm human. What are you? She goes, is that optional? He goes, well, I'm not. Yeah, it is for me. She goes, by the way, space is kind of closed with cold with the doors open. So they close it. Then the doctor does fast calculating talk. He's trying to figure out everything, trying to figure out who she is, why she's there. But she goes, you know what? I need to get back to the church. I think it's in Chiswick, but I'm not sure about that. Get me to the church. He goes, yeah, well, you're not supposed to be here anyway. St. Mary's, Hayden Road, Chiswick, Chiswick, Earth, the solar system. Then she finds Rose's shirt. He goes, that's my friend. She's gone. She goes, what do you mean gone? He goes, I lost her. And then we get a little touch of, back to last season. And she goes, hurry up and lose me back to my wedding. But the doctor's got a scowl, in a frown. And he goes, right, Chiswick, St. Mary's, recalibrating. There's also something on the wall or one of the ribs of the TARDIS. They land. She goes out, looks around. She says, St. Mary's. She goes, what Martian are you? He goes, there's something up with the TARDIS. This is when he recalibrates. She goes, something. She's digesting something. I don't get it. And he goes, have you eaten something strange, Donna? She tries to look around the TARDIS, which blows her mind, of course. That box, comes back to the TARDIS. She goes, she goes, that box is weird, man. He goes, is there something? He goes, are you sure you're getting married to a human? Not a slit, whatever those were, a Slytherines or whatever. Then she says, I just want to get married. She goes out to the, she also talks about pockets, because they go, he says, come back. She goes, the TARDIS is too weird. No way. Any phone? She goes, no, I'm in a wedding dress. No pockets. Have you seen a bride with pockets? The doctor doesn't have an answer for that. She goes, I forgot to ask the one wedding dress with pockets. She goes, let's get moving. He goes, I'm not from Mars, by the way. They get in the cab. It's double rates in the cab, because she says, I'm in a hurry. I don't know what double rate said today. She goes, you got any cash, doctor? He goes, no, don't you? She goes, pockets. He goes, okay. So then she yells at the cab driver, double for his mother. We see some Boxing Day signs outside of James Howell and Company. The doctor hacks a payphone so she could call her mom, but she has to leave a message. The doctor hacks an ATM. So that she can get in a cab. She borrows a tenner from somebody without the doctor, while the doctor's trying to get money. We see three Santas in a band playing Tidings of Comfort and Joy, and some snow person inflatables in the background. But those snow people are not in the business of giving Tidings of Comfort and Joy. They're clearly trouble, so the doctor throws a cash party. But she gets in a cab, Donna. But a Santa's running the cab, and it's a Santa to say, time for straight to the North Pole, this cab's going. So it's action TARDIS time, and this was a cool scene. I was trying to imagine myself watching this as a holiday special as a kid and thinking this would be really fun. And the doctor has her on a map. It's a Santa bot or robo form. Then we get another open tag. Then, you know, the ad. Then we see Donna in the Santa robo form cab. And the TARDIS is flying after her in pursuit with hero music. And there's kids in a car. They see it. They love it. The doctor uses some twine to control the TARDIS while he tries to, you know, help Donna. She doesn't want to go to the North Pole. She wants to go to her wedding. And he kind of works out a method. Then we get some James Bond music. This is when it's revealed that Santa's a robo form. And he said, like he says, if Santa's a robo form, there's no way that it's going to take you to a wedding. It's got to be going straight to the North Pole. So Donna says, but I'm going to my wedding. So she won't go with the doctor though either. Doctor has to use his twine to speed up the TARDIS. He goes bouncing on some cars, more Bond music. He tries to cancel the robot. That doesn't work that well. Donna says, no jumping on the motorway. The doctor says, come on. The kids in another car are cheering, jump, jump, jump. And he says, you got to trust me. And then she does, and there's victory music, and the TARDIS is out. Then we see a watch. Is that right? And some steam. Let me see. What do we have here? The doctor's trying to warn her off, say, come on, let's get going. They jump back in the TARDIS. Everybody's, your kids are happy. So that was a cute moment, of course. And a good moment for Donna, you know, to say, well, I did it. The kids, wow, they're really happy. And one of the kids has a Santa doll. TARDIS is out, flying high in the sky. Yeah, oh, she looks at her watch, and then they're on a roof. Smoke's coming out of the TARDIS. Doctor says, a funny thing for a spaceship, the TARDIS doesn't do much flying, or she. They're looking out over London. She says, I wish you had a time machine so I could go back and be at my wedding. Goes, yeah, we can't do, TARDIS can't do that. Even if it could, it would mess up the timelines. He says that apparently it does that from his own error. I can't remember from last season. The doctor's very thoughtful. He gives Donna his jacket. She gives him some burn, you know. He gives her a wedding ring, which is a bio damper. He goes, I hear their bio, do the bio damp, which was funny. It keeps her hidden. With this ring, I the bio damp, he says. And then he talks about last Christmas. He didn't give anything away. The very next day, he said, last Christmas, you know, I had to deal with some other thing. He goes, yeah, I dealt with these, a different kind of Santa, robo form. Because you don't remember that great big spaceship last year over London? She goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I was hungover. And I had to sleep in. He goes, okay, well, he goes, yeah, just over there in the Powell estate. And he says, anyway, my friend, and now he goes, okay, I got to change the subject here. Friends. So he has memories. He's a little down. She says, she notices, she changes the subject. Or no, he does. She says, who was he? He goes, anyway, why do you think those robo forms want you? There's nothing special or powerful about you. And he tries to scan her with the sonic screwdriver. She goes, stop bleeping me. And then we get a flashback of Donna's and Lance's love story at H.C. Clemens, where they both work. He's in HR. They do ID cards, keys, locks. She started there. There's some interesting signs about locks and her desk and Lance getting her coffee. And it's a nice little scene. And I mean, it unfortunately pays off, you know, but not in, there's a couple payoffs for it. But yeah, she talks about, you know, this thing with Lance and kind of paints her own, her viewpoint of it. Then they show another viewpoint of it. So you get some humor of Donna and Lance and the perspectives of reality. And you get to see some of London or like sets. I think it's London. The doctor tries to get more information. And she goes, enough of my CV. The doctor says, cause something with keys, maybe. She goes, come on, let's get back to the wedding. It's not going to be pretty. She goes, you can do the explaining, Martian boy. He goes, yeah, I'm not from Mars, by the way. Then we go right to her wedding reception. It's party time. There's disco. There's dancing. There's a cake. And Donna rolls in. Her Lance is dancing with the woman that was sneering at the wedding. Her parents are dancing. Everybody's having a good old time, even though Donna's not there. She's very cross, I would say. Very, very cross. It's holiday dancing music playing. She says, what did you do? You're having the wedding reception without me? And then everybody says, well, why not? It was already paid for. They kind of give her some tude. Lance is like, where were you? It's a tense moment. The doctor says, hi, I'm the doctor, by the way. And there's more kind of very funny episode. Even Donna's mama says, what am I supposed to do? And they go, what happened? You just disappeared. So she gets a little sad, but it's a fake out. She kind of plays them. And then I think there's a commercial as Donna plays them and winks at the doctor that she's super sad. Then we come back. Let's see. We come back to... I have to fast forward through these commercials because I don't have it an ad free. I can't find it anywhere. I guess it's moving to another service, but I do have it on BBC America. So we go back to the party. It's really kicking off. Donna and Lance are dancing. Neil Hannon singing "Love Don't Roll By." Doctor borrows somebody's flip phone, looks up H.C. Clements, puts on his thinking face, goes over to the videographer. He says, okay, what is up with this disappearing Donna? He sees that it's gold that she disappeared by. He says, well, that's impossible. That's like Huon particles, too ancient, so old. Doesn't exist anymore. Billions of years ago. So old that biodamp doesn't even work. Can't be biodamped. Then we have Action Doctor again. We see Santa Botch everywhere. They're in the Manchester suite, by the way, where the wedding reception is. Santa Botch are everywhere. Then one of the Santa Botch pulls out a Nintendo GameCube controller. I'm pretty sure that's the one. It's a controller to GameCube. It could be a 64, but I think it's a GameCube controller. And it's a remote control for these flying ornaments. And everybody does Oh Dear. Some people do a cake dive. There's fun music, at least, but it's not good for the wedding because it ruins the wedding. The ornaments ruin the wedding reception. More Santas come in, but then the doctor totally plays them. He says, hey, by the way, don't let somebody with a sonic screwdriver get to a sonic system. And so he gives them a screwdriver sonic blast. Short circuits all the RoboForm Santas. He says, hey, by the way, there's two remote controls here. And Donna says, aren't you going to do anything? Like, what? He goes, I got to look at the big picture. Who did this? Who is that? Who's that? He goes, and they see the RoboForms are coming from up there in the sky. Then we see projections and we hear a voice say, clever, 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 kind of a cat voice. Or someone doing a cat voice. They have many screens, and they have like a. Oh, then it opens, or then it goes to a commercial. So cat voice, kind of from the movie Cats. I didn't see that movie, but you've seen kind of some of what it looks like to have a celebrity dressed up as a cat. And that's what you could expect coming up here. But with wax teeth, is that part? Yeah, then we're at A.C. Clemens' office. Doctors are looking around. They have nice holiday decorations at H.C. Clemens. It was bought up 23 years ago by Torchwood. You know, Torchwood, no one knows it. Canary Wharf, Cyber People, no. Daleks. She goes, I was in Spain. He goes, you didn't see any Daleks in Spain? She goes, I was scuba diving. He goes, well, that was it for Torchwood, but H.C. Clemens stayed in business. I didn't know. I said, Torchwood's gone. There's also a sign, engagement is the key for business. He says, Huron's ancient. We got to figure out. He goes, it's related to the remnant of the TARDIS, the heart of the TARDIS. That's why you connected with the TARDIS, activated these things. He goes, and now I'm looking at the building plans, and I see that there's a sub-basement. So we'll go to see you later. She says, no chance, Martian. Lance, get inside here with me. Then we hear the cat person, they're a cat person, like they say, the bride approaches, she's my key. Then Lance, Donna, and the doctor in a sub-basement with green lighting, they ride some segways around, they have fun. They get their bearings, the doctor says, we're just under the Thames flood barrier. Rhapsody in Blue plays, it's a secret base. And somebody says, I know, love. Particle, oh, they go into a lab. There's particle extrusion and bubbles. And the doctor says, yeah, they're extruding Huron particles. I don't know if from the Thames or something. He says, this is brilliant. They're manufacturing them. He makes faces behind the bubbles. Lance is still trying to, who are you? Doctor says, I'm a freelancer. So they're using the attempts to extrude stuff into liquid form. And yeah, that's what's in you, Donna. He uses them to light her up to show the resin, that Huron particles resonate. The doctor gets really excited, does some fast talking, says Shazam a few times. Shazam a few times. It's because he says, well, geez, your wedding, you would have been all, you'd have had all these chemicals inside, endorphins, adrenaline. You're like a walking microwave. That's what makes you go Shazam. But the doctor says, don't worry, I'll reverse it. They open up lab 003, and we see Santa Roboforms in cloaks. There's a big hole in the earth built by a laser. It goes all the way to the center of the earth. The doctor's surprised by that. Then the cat is coming in through, let me get some of these. Says, geez, how far down does it go? But then they hear this voice. The doctor says, oh, well, only a doctor talks to thin air. Who are you? Come on down and see us. It says, hi, I'm a cat high in the sky on a pillow floating over Christmas night. And the doctor goes, I'm not talking on the, he goes, come on, kitty cat. I want to see you. Come on down. She goes, who are you to command a cat? He goes, I'm the doctor. And she goes, prepare your best stuff, doctor, man, because you're going to be in trouble. Then the cat appears, and she's like doing meowing and some cat hissing. Arachnos is the name of the cat and the cat people. Then he says, I can't believe it. Empress of the Arachnos is who she is. So she's not just any cat or Arachnos cat person. She's the Empress of the Arachnos, which is, I guess, is important. Or at least for our story, it's important. Then she says, they say, only you? She says, only me. I'm the last. Her doctor says, you're the last of your kind. They also mention the shoes called spats. Lance and the bride, she says, oh, you're so feisty, this bride. Because they say the cats take all the milk. These cats, arachnos, not regular cats, arachnos cats, are going to gobble up all the, you know, the milk on Earth. Because that's usually where they should go. And let's see, Lance does a double take. Lance and the bride, so feisty. The cat is just a cat. Like Lance sneaks up on her, but then she says, Lance is funny. Lance is on my side. He loves kitty cats. Then we kind of learn that Lance is very impolite. And Lance says, you know, Donna's idea of a height of excitement is a new Pringle, new flavor Pringle. And Lance says, big picture, like the doctor said, for me is seeing all of space. That's what I want, to see the size of space. And then she says, who is this little physician? And the doctor says, well, why'd you build something 4,000 miles around, down there? And then she says, anyway, doctor, you're toast. And the doctor starts buying some time in a very typical doctor fashion. And he says, we don't have to worry because the TARDIS doesn't need to go to us. When she's got Huron particles, TARDIS comes to her. And so they are protected by the TARDIS. The Empress is not happy. Then the doctor says, by the way, I can use this as a time machine. Molto bene. Molto bene. Donna's a little bit sad because Lance was so rude, which totally makes sense. But they go out into space 4.6 billion years ago. Sun was brand new. Earth was still dust. They needed it, gravity to pull everything together. And Donna says, well, this puts my wedding in perspective. The first rock, the gravity of the first rock pulled all the other rocks together. Still don't understand why. And Donna goes, well, that's why the Arachnos cat pillow is the center of the Earth. That was the first gravity rock. That pulled everything else in. Lance starts to glow. Is that right? There's trouble. The TARDIS, like, starts to get pulled back in. Yeah, because Lance is glowing. So he pulls the TARDIS back after Earth forms around the Arachnos cat pillow. Let's see. It pulls him back. She goes, okay, she's close. The doctor and Donna, they come back, but they're in a hall. Doctor tries to do something. She says, what do you do? The doctor goes, I don't know, I'm making up as I go along. He's using a stethoscope, extrapolator or something. He goes, I've already dealt with before. You're the key particles. We got to open it. Stethoscope. Donna vanishes. She goes, chases the cat down, and we go to a commercial. Doctor opens the door, and a robo form's waiting for him, and then it cuts to a commercial. So, very interesting article. You see, okay, so the cats, these cat beings, they're not normal cats, are going to drink all the milk on Earth, so the doctor's got to put a stop to it. From the center of the Earth. Then they are back, Lance and Donna, together at last, the awful wedding. They're both, we got their particles flowing. I guess that would, has to do with the milk somehow, which wakes up the Secret Heart unlocks and wakes up the kitties on the pillow. They'll come to drink the milk and unlock it and wake up space cats and kittens. Her ship comes down towards Earth because she says sustenance time. They're going to drink up all your milk. And she says, oh, funny little Lance, you're so impolite. The Empress does not approve. Even though I laughed at your jokes, I don't approve of them. Then we see her ship, and people think it's a Christmas star with Tesla coils, but it's really a milk-thieving ship. The doctor goes in undercover pretending he's a roboform, but the Empress sees right through it. She says, unmask yourself, doctor. I could tell you're a roboform. The doctor says, she says, you're so clever, you're busted. And the doctor goes, no, Don, I got you, swing. Then there's more comedy as Donna swings on a rope. And she says, he says, oh, sorry. She goes, thanks for nothing. And Arachnos Emberus says, this doctor man amuses me, but we got to get this cat planet going. Or the doctor says, I'll give you a cat planet if you don't drink all the milk on this planet. There's beings that need milk, mammals, they call them. And he goes, take that offer, I'll get you your own cat planet. And she goes, I decline. And he goes, what happens next is on you then, your own doing. And she says, I'll show you what happens next. And meow. Kitty cat time. But then she says, with my robo forms first. And the doctor goes, guess what? And he puts them all to sleep. And Donna says, how'd you do that? He goes, pockets. And he pulls out the giant GameCube remote control. She goes, how'd you fit that in there? He goes, oh, my pockets are bigger on the inside. By the way, much bigger. Because she says, my children, she calls him a Martian. He takes out all the Christmas balls. And he does a great solution. He gets all the kitty cats wet, like with a little bit of like a hose, spraying them. So then all the cats don't like being wet and they don't smell good. But mostly they don't like being wet. So they go to their mother cat and they say, take us back to the planet or something, you know? So she transports everybody back to their ship. And she's still after the Earth and everything on Earth. They go to, like, the doctor says, and the Earth says, wouldn't it be easier if all you and your cats, we got this great place for you and your cats go. It's called the Big Cat House in the Sky. Go there. So she does. But also the doctor and Donna got soaking wet. So they get off the TARDIS back in Donna's neighborhood. And at first they're kind of laughing because they can't believe it. Can't we make it back here? Oh, I forgot. They drained the Thames to get rid of all the cats. They're wet and laughing at first. There's horns blowing. You say, geez, we drained the Thames. Then they go back to Donna's. And the doctor goes, here we go, back home. I told you'd be okay. And she goes, I can't believe it. I lost my job and my wedding. You know, all that in one day. What a day. Doctor, you're a number. And she goes, well, and doctor goes, yeah, sorry about that. And she goes, well, Lance was a J to the R to the K anyway. And doctor goes, yeah, love and loss. And she goes, well, I'm soaking wet in the wedding dress. Better get inside. My family probably wondering where I'm at. We see some parents hug in the windows. He goes, you don't like Christmas, do you? She goes, nope. He goes, what about a white Christmas? And he makes a snow machine. He does this like fireworks that are snow. And it starts snowing. And Donna laughs. Doctor kicks it against the TARDIS and says, atmospheric excitation, baby. And she kind of smiles, looks at him. Merry Christmas. And he says, Merry Christmas to you. And he gets back in the TARDIS, and this episode comes to a close as the TARDIS heads out. Good night. Oh, actually, I got to do the run-through, huh? Okay, so we'll run through some facts here. Chiswick, C-H-I-S-W-I-C-K, Chiswick, his pronunciation, west of London, England. It's got Hogarth's house, the residence of William Hogarth, Chiswick House, one of Neo-Palladian villa known as one of the finest in England, Fuller's Brewery. It's in a meander of Thames known for competitive and recreational rowing with rowers clubs. And the finishing post for the boat race is downstream of Chiswick Bridge. It's an ancient parish in Middlesex. Agrarian and fishing economy beside the river, had good communication with London, so it was a popular country retreat and then part of the suburban growth in the 19th and 20th century. Became a part of Greater London in 1965. Affluent Bedford Park, Grove Park, Glebe, Strand on the Green, Tube Stations, Chiswick Park, and Turnham Green, and Gunnersbury, and Gunnersbury Local Triangle Local Nature Reserve. Let's see, it's 15,550 square miles, or 6,000 square kilometers, or kilometers square. Let's see if we can see the population. 5.72 kilometers square. Oh, that's density. I don't understand that. Oh, I don't see a population list. So that's a little bit about it. And I'll link to the Wikipedia article. But yeah, it has a decent amount of stuff there. Yeah, right. A couple other things that came up in this episode. One was like Howell's Department Store, which is real. It's a large department store on St. Mary's Street in Cardiff, Wales. So this is a little bit different than like Doctor Who is filmed in Wales, or was. You know, kind of the uses, but it's real, and they were in St. Mary's anyway. History-wise, James Howell was the son of a farmer. 1865, he opened a shop in Hayes, Cardiff, in Stewart Hall, and it was a drapery shop. They moved to St. Mary's Street. By 1892, he had a shop that extended from Trinity Street in the east to St. Mary's in the west. The first part of the current store was built in the late 19th century, ornate facade visible on St. Mary's Street. In the 1920s, it was a neoclassical expansion. It was a unique result of this extension was that Bethany Chapel, built on the site of an earlier chapel in 1865, was absorbed into the fabric of the building, and its frontage was incorporated into the interior and is still visible in the store today. That'd be cool. It was a family-run business managed by the family of James Howell. Then in the 1900s, they formed James Howell and Company Limited. They kept extending the store even into the modernism of the 1960s. They had a car showroom across Wharton Street and other businesses. And today, the store, this is all from Wikipedia, major destination, second largest department store in Wales, 150,000 square feet of selling space, went a big refurbishment, brought in new labels and labels in 2009. In 2018, oh no, it was announced the store would close. They were working on keeping it open in 2018. So we'll have to see. And it's been used inside and outside on Doctor Who, in Rose, and other things. So that's cool. Big part of Doctor Who for us. Okay, I'm not going to quote the lyrics from the song Last Christmas, but Last Christmas, the Doctor said in this one. So I want to talk about the Paul Feig movie written... Emma Thompson's one of the writers, and it's based on the song inspired by the music of George Michael. It stars Amelia Clark and Henry Golding. Like, talk about superstars. Michelle Yeoh's also in it, and it was released last holidays. I haven't seen it. Got mixed reviews, but those two leads, they said the chemistry between them was amazing. It was successful in the box office, and I've been told to see the movie and not learn anything more about it. So don't learn anything more about it. Trust me, I haven't seen the movie, but I trust Amelia Clark and Henry Golding. So don't read about the movie next holiday season. Just go see it, because I didn't see it last Christmas, but this Christmas I probably will. Okay, the next person is Neil Hannon. I know sometimes it's Niall Hannon. Northern Irish singer and songwriter, was a front person of a group of the Divine Comedy, and he writes a lot of songs for television, Father Ted, The It Crowd, and he did at least one song for this Doctor Who episode, maybe more. I'm just trying to find Doctor Who, Song for 10, Love Don't Roam, that was the one in this one. Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So long and thanks for all the fish. He does sound a bit like Tom Jones in some of the songs in a good way. So that was just something I wanted to look up. Nintendo GameCube is up next. The Nintendo GameCube, also known as just the GameCube, is a console released in 2001. In 2002, Nintendo's sixth generation successor to the Nintendo 64 was around when PlayStation 2 and the original Xbox came out. It was the first Nintendo console to use optical discs in the mini DVD format. Couldn't play full-size DVDs or CDs. It could only be used for gaming. It was limited with online gaming. You could connect a Game Boy Advance to it via cable, which you could play, so you could do special in-game features. It used composite video cables to display the games, though it did change to digital component in 2004. It said GameCube on the top. I was right about the controller, though I don't know any other previous controllers, but it does look pretty similar to the remote control the doctor had. Not identical. Reception was positive. The controller was praised. It had an extensive library, good games, but it just didn't sell well. And when I say that, I mean it still sold 21 million units, and it was discontinued when the first Wii came out. Let's see, graphic hardware design, ArtX, let's see, development, ATI, just seeing what else we got, discontinued, there's a lot in this Wikipedia article, storage, two memory card ports for saving games, learn from control, like its other controllers, what worked and what didn't work, but it went from Nintendo 64's three-handled controller design back to a two-handled handlebar design. So maybe it was more like the Nintendo 64 controller. Let's see. It had innovative first-party games, including for Super Mario and Zelda. The first Animal Crossing was on here. Metroid Prime, Legend of Zelda, The Wind Walker, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Smash Bros. Melee. Also a re-release of Luigi's Mansion, which Nick Weiger loves that game, I think. Or at least he used to talk about it a lot. So that's a little bit about a Nintendo GameCube. Okay, when it comes to pockets, I think you want to check out Articles of Interest, the podcast, 99% Invisible podcast, spinoff by Avery Truffleman. And episode number 3 is about pockets. Came out October 2nd, 2018. And you can find that in the 99PI feed in your podcast app or Articles of Interest. And you can find it, like, just listen to it. Then you'll learn way more about pockets than I could tell you. And plus, it's an amazing podcast. So check that out. Thames Flood Barrier. Yeah, the Thames Flood Barrier is a movable barrier system designed to prevent the floodplain of most of Greater London from being flooded by tides and storm surges from the North Sea. It's been operational since 1982. When needed, it's closed during high tide, and at low tide, it can be opened to restore the river's flow back towards the sea. Built approximately 1.9 miles due east of the Isle of Dogs. Its northern bank is in the Silvertown area of Newham and New Charlton and Greenwich. They've been dealing with flooding since Roman times. In 54, they tried to figure out how to avoid it. And they recommended it as an alternative to raising the banks, erecting a structure across the Thames that could be closed, should be investigated. A large number of designs were put forward, including a viaduct with gates or something, flap gates lying on the riverbed that could be floated up by compressed air, which we've talked about on other shows before. Then, 66, they took a look at it again, tried to figure out the costs and what could be built. But they said, we got to do something. to prevent, you know, to prevent London from a storm surge, especially something north of Scotland in the spring tide. So the concept of the rising sector gates was designed in 69, rotating cylinders based on the taps on a gas, like a gas cooker, like your stove things. And it was designed, they tested out the hydraulics, and then they passed the Thames Barrier and Flood Prevention Act to authorize construction in the 70s. And they started work in 1974, two phases. The southern piers first, and then the northern piers. It was a lot of work. Predictions for operations. It's really cool. Really cool piece of design. Future was supposed to last till 2030, but probably they didn't know about it by mid 2000s. It was being used 6 to 7 times a year, but even more than that, depending on the year. But they're looking at trying to do something to supersede it. That's interesting, very interesting, and it appears in a lot of different fiction and entertainment. Now, the doctor says a Shazam in this episode. There was a movie Shazam that came out recently, but there's also a TV show that I saw some reruns of. I just barely remember it. I more remember Shazam. It was a live-action TV show based on the superhero Captain Marvel, also known as Shazam. It starred Michael Gray as Billy Batson, a teenage boy who could be turned into Captain Marvel. Two different actors played it when you would say Shazam. They traveled the country with a mentor in a Dodge motorhome looking to help people. So it's kind of procedural. It ran from 1974 to 1976 on CBS's Saturday morning lineup. I wonder when it was broadcast history. It was reruns up until 1980, and then it was on TV Land in the 2000s. Interesting. I don't think I've seen it since, I don't even remember, but I don't know. I just wanted to look it up. And finally, let's learn about Spats. I know there's a place in Berkeley called Spats, but I wanted to look this up. Spats was footwear that was worn by a character in the show, a shortening of spatter dashes or spatter guards, a classic footwear accessory for outdoor wear covering the instep and the ankle. Spats are distinct from gaiters, which are worn over the trouser and leg as well as the shoe. Spats were worn by men and less commonly women in the 19th and 20th century. They fell out of frequent use in the 20s. They were made from cloth or gray or brown felt and buttoned around the ankles. Their intended practical purpose was to protect the shoes and socks from mud or rain, but were also stylish at some point. Increased formality may have been the reason. Oh, increased informality was the decline of spats. King George V in 1923 opened the Chelsea Flower Show with a frock coat, gray top hat, and spats. By 1926, though, the king shocked the public by wearing a black morning coat instead of a frock coat. And that was the demise of the frock coat. And then spats were left off the king in 1926, too. And it is said that this moment was observed and commented on by spectators and produced an immediate reaction. The ground beneath the bushes was littered with discarded spats. And in New York in 1936, the Associated Press observed, in recent years, well-dressed men have been discarding spats because they become the property of rank and file. A revival of high-top shoes and cloth uppers was forecast. There's also an article from the oldie. It's just quoted in here. Pity the fellow who can't afford spats. That's in the references on Wikipedia. And that's it. Thanks, everybody, and good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Claire, Joshua, and Ari. Thank you. Thanks. Good night. Debbie, Casildren, Angela. Thanks. And good night. Brittany, Theta, and Matt. Thanks. And good night. Rianne, Jamie, and Haley. Thanks. And good night. Mary, Madison, and Ari. Thanks. And good night. David, Sandra, and Amelia. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Rachel, Molly, and Lilith, thank you, thanks, and good night. Latia, Lynn, and Sarah, thanks, and good night. Adrian, Laura, and Guillermo, thank you, thanks, and good night. Stephanie, Debbie, and Donna, thanks, and good night. Amanda, Kate, and Cecilia, thank you, thanks, and good night. Vicky, Donna, and Bonnie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Linda, Robin and Adriana, thanks, and good night. Amanda, Anthony, and Simon, thank you, thanks, and good night. Ellen, Alexander, and Casey, thanks, and good night. Jen, Wendy, and Jonathan, thanks, and good night. Jen R., Tish, and Daniela, thanks, and good night. And Charlotte, Mary, and AJ, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support our sponsors and support the show directly on Patreon and support our merch store. So thank you, everybody that does that. That's how we're able to bring this podcast free twice a week. And then what else do you need to know? We grow by people just simply spreading the word about the show. So if you spread the word about the show, it's a huge help too. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want to let you know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. That's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.